Buy Knickers.
Bernard pulls the trigger.
And this is a brand. Knickers is a brand.
Allen Houston.
Knickers means Lord. Once a neck, always a neck.
What is going on, guys? You're listening to Knickish. You got your boys Mo and Faiz here. The Knicks are on a tear against the rest of the NBA. It is scary season. But first, check out our website, nick-ish.com, and cop yourself a Knickish hoodie or hat or gear. We still got some beanies in stock. And we're to your next Knicks game. Bringing my guy Faiz, what is going on, man?
I'm doing good, man. I mean, we got about a month approximately left until the season's over. So it's a great time for the Knicks to be getting back some of their key guys like OG Anunoby. We're hearing rumors swirl around Mitchell Robinson being maybe game ready soon and Julius Randle progressing the way he is. So being able to get these guys back and, you know, cracking that 40 wins already in the season, making it the first time that the Knicks have had back-to-back 40-win seasons since 2000 and 2001, I believe, something like that. So first time in about 24 years. So it's a great time to be a Knicks fan, and great time for them to surge with playoffs looming and, you know, get the seeding locked in.
Yeah, no, for sure. Every stat that's coming out now just proves that this squad that we have this season is one of the best Knicks teams that we've had in Knicks history, because there's so many record-breaking stats that you could think of. You just pointed to one. This is the quickest the Knicks have gone to 40 wins since that 2012 and 13 season that we talk so highly of, that Melo, J. Kidd, you know, season where the Knicks made it to the second round of the playoffs. And you talk about star power. You got Jalen Brunson, back-to-back 40-point games, fourth Knick in history to ever do it. I mean, he sits in a pretty high class. The other three were Patrick Ewing, Bernard King, Carmelo Anthony. So we got a squad this year, and you could point to any one of the players who played last night and talk about something elite that they've done that we haven't seen much of as a Knicks fan, just talking about over the last 10 years. You could talk about Isaiah Hartenstein, his defense, and what he did to Sabonis. You could talk about Josh Hart and his triple doubles. I mean, he knocked down four triple doubles this season, and the last game against the Sixers, he did it within three quarters. You could talk about Precious Achiuwa and his development. There's so many players that you could point at, and the Knicks have just leveled up to something else. And when we're talking about defense, I mean, this is elite level defense, the best defense in the NBA in the month of March. They put the clamps down on the Kings last night. Hartenstein made sure Sabonis only scored 3 points in that second half, that double-double man himself. But we'll get into all that. This episode is going to be a quick run. We're going to highlight mostly the Kings game. We'll keep it quick and short, but lots of positive things to look out for. So something that stood out to you after last night?
I mean, the first thing I want to think about is you're talking about Sabonis and him having a pretty solid game, like in terms of Sabonis standards. You're going for that double-double. His assist numbers weren't that high, but the fact that that game happened without Julius Randle being there, like we've always seen Julius Randle, especially when they played in the East, be pitted against Sabonis, where their play styles are a little similar as being big men who can like score, rebound, but also pass to a certain extent. But seeing the Knicks come away with this win with a fully healthy Sacramento Kings, they had De'Aaron Fox playing, they had Harrison Barnes, Sabonis, and their other like the other low key guys they picked up, like Malik Monk, Chris George, like all these guys were available to them, and we still see the Knicks come out and get that win. And obviously, a lot of that comes because of having a player like Jalen Brunson. We have to sing his praises, and not just us. We're hearing Mike Brown after the game talk about Jalen Brunson and say, hey, we use like what we basically use for Steph Curry. We blitz this guy and he's still getting these points. So you got, and Mike Brown, like, you know, as much as a lot of people have like not great memories of him, he's been a fantastic coach for the last 2 years. The Kings have been a great team. They've been doing really good. The beam has been shining, but the Knicks were able to dull that out because even coaches like Eric Spoelstra, Mike Brown, like these guys are all saying about Jalen Brunson. Like, I don't think people understand that they don't say these things because it's cute and it's fun and it's like nice to say these nice things about people. They're saying these things because they are scared of Jalen Brunson. They're scared that he is scoring all these points. He had like close to half the points for the Knicks, man. Like, A player like this is special, and like having him do this over and over again, especially when guys like Randle are still not coming back, and DiVincenzo's been great, but you know his shooting might not be perfect. Jalen Brunson's just taking over and doing his thing, and it's nice to see this team play for each other. Because if Jalen Brunson doesn't have it, we've seen it against the Sixers the other night. Like Josh Hart goes into overdrive, gets that triple double. One of the like craziest triple doubles. He has 20 points, 19 rebounds. Like, man, this guy, he's different. Like seeing all these guys play off each other and play for each other, like it's like you said, every single person we're seeing, when I look at the stat sheet, I'm like, this guy is contributing. Isaiah Hartenstein contributing in his own way. And even guys like OG Anunoby, who are coming off the injury, and you know, maybe he didn't have a great shooting night last night. He went 1 from 8 from the field and 0 for 4 from three, but still +6. There's a reason he's still +6 in those numbers. And I know plus minus doesn't always paint the entire story, but another guy who played the similar amount of minutes but scored 15 points, Dante DiVincenzo, but he's -6. So like seeing the difference in that, like OG Anunoby unlocks something completely different in this lineup and makes these Knicks team like a team to really, really be scared of. Like the last few games, the Knicks have been holding teams to like how much? They held the Kings to 91 points, the Blazers to 93, and 79 and 73, 74 with Orlando. Like in the last few games, the only team that's cracked 100 is like is I think Atlanta. Every other team's been cracking 98, 79, 93. Like this Knicks defense with OG Anunoby coming back in the last three games has been impressive. And even without him, they've been really locked in and dialed in. And that, like I said earlier, that's exactly what you want to see leading up to 1 month right before the playoffs. You want them to catch fire right here.
Yeah, no doubt. And honestly, I like the Kings. I see them sort like them, how their relationship is with their fan base, and kind of the, you know, the reputation that they had as a fan base over the last 20 years is very similar to the Knicks, and not for good reasons. And the way they built up the team, you got two all-stars leading the way, and they play for each other. They play in a style with Mike Brown. I mean, in March, I think before this Knicks game, they were third in offensive rating, 12th in defense, third in net rating, first in points in the paint, and fourth in second chance points. And we beat them without our starting center and our all NBA power forward. That speaks volumes. And you know, with Brunson, I mean, there's not enough that you can say about Brunson at this point. It feels regular for him to be dropping over 30, 35 points a game in efficient fashion. And you said it with that Mike Brown quote. They basically said they did everything they can, and Brunson still scored 50% from the three, still shot 50% from the field. He's just unstoppable at this point. And I mean, what else? OG Anunoby. We haven't spoken much about him because he was out for most of the time. But after last night's win, they're 15-2 with OG on the team. The impact that he plays, the impact that he has on the court is different. There's a stat with him and Josh Hart. Their net rating on the court together is +30 with an 88 defensive rating. That's insane. Josh Hart, I mean, like these trades that Leon Rose made, Josh Hart, they basically got for free after giving up Cam Reddish. It's just speaks volumes. It's just this team just makes me so happy. It's I don't like I can't even put it to words.
Yeah, and like it does get stressful sometimes without this team fully healthy, without OG Anunoby and stuff. But like we saw that January, we saw how awesome that was. And if you're telling me I had to suffer through a bad February for us to be ready for playoffs, I'm more than okay with that. Because the Knicks team without Randle, without Mitchell Robinson, without OG Anunoby, like they were treading waters. Like they were staying right at 500 or maybe a little worse during that time. So seeing them come out now and like be confident and man, like. This guy, OG Anunoby, man, I just have to give him so much respect. Like, comes off this elbow inflammation surgery. You would think that he's like slow, like, you know, slowly winding back up. No, first game back, you see him diving for balls, going, make doing all the things that makes us love him as Knicks fans. So, I'm really hoping that we see OG Anunoby, even a guy like Josh Hart, like these guys in Knicks jerseys for a long time. Isaiah Hartenstein, like, I know that like we don't really want to think about it yet, but there is a lot of. There is a lot to think about in terms of where these contracts are going to go going forward, how we're going to consolidate some of them. And It's so hard not to love this team and see how they play for each other. Like, it's not just the fans liking them, it's them liking each other and the chemistry they have. And I'm really excited for Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle to come back into the fold and be excited with these guys so they can get ready for playoff basketball. 'Cause like, say like this team, I feel like they're really primed to make a run. Now, does that mean that they're gonna make an Eastern Conference Finals? Does that mean they're gonna win the finals? I don't know. I'm just here for the ride. I love the Knicks and I'm always going to be here for the ride, but it really does feel like this team is special and that they're primed to make a run. And I'm inclined to say that they could make the Eastern Conference Finals if healthy with this roster that they have. Like the way that guys are talking about Tom Thibodeau in the locker room and whatnot, like they're excited to play for him. Like I'm listening to Josh Hart, the roommates, the podcast with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, and they're just talking about Thibodeau and how it's so hard to play for him, but they've never felt more prepared for every situation under a coach. And that's exactly what you want to hear going into a playoff series. Like against someone like Milwaukee or something, if you have to see one of those teams, the only I believe that a guy like Giannis can only be stopped with a system. It's not a one-on-one defender type of thing. And I really believe that Tom Thibodeau is the guy to create a system like that, a defensive system that can stop one of those guys in the playoffs. So it's so hard not to be excited about this Knicks team, especially with the health ramping up the way it has been.
Yeah, I mean, at the minimum, right? Since OG joined the team, the Knicks have been 8-1 versus teams over 500. And at the
That's something they
minimum,
struggled with a lot before
yeah,
OG, so
I think they can even make a run for a second seed because right now they're 3 games behind Milwaukee. And just looking at the remaining schedule, how many teams are they playing that are over 500 right now? Let's see, we got 1-2 with the next 2 games with the Warriors and the Nuggets. That's
I think
two. And then
Brooklyn
the
and Pistons,
Thunder, Heat,
Thunder Heat,
Kings,
Sacramento's
Bucks,
over
Celtics. So like
500.
about half of their next 15 or 2, 4, 6, 8,
Yeah, some of the
10,
games I
12.
will say are a
Yeah.
little bit on the tougher end because you do have to see a lot of those Eastern Conference. Like three of the guys you have to see here are like Eastern Conference like rivals, I would say, in terms of the Celtics, the Bucks, and Miami. But I will say I feel like they're paced out enough with a few Chicago games in there. So hopefully the Knicks are able to make a run right here. I know Chicago's been a little bit more frisky too, like a lot of like DeMar DeRozan game winners and whatnot, because they're really trying to push. But I don't know, man. I have a confidence in this Knicks squad, and the fact that they were unhealthy for this long, if we're able to get Julius Randle before the season even ends, like I'm feeling good about where this Knicks team could go. And you're right. Like I know for a while the Knicks were stuck in that 4 to 7, 8 range, and they still kind of are there with like a lot of these. Like the difference between the 4 seed and the 8 seed is like 4 games, which isn't a lot. But what's nice now is that the Bucks and Cavs are also kind of part of that, where like they're within 3 games of the Knicks 4 seed. So you're right. There is a huge chance that the Knicks could jump up somewhere there, especially with the Cavs facing some of the health issues they are. I believe Giannis is out tonight against the Suns, so they might be seeing some problems as well. But I don't see a reason that the Knicks can't make that second or third seed the way they've been playing.
Yeah, and shout out to Tankathon because I'm looking at the toughest schedules going forward. Milwaukee, according to this, has a fourth toughest schedule. New York has a 16th, so right in the middle there. Cleveland with a 19th, and guess which team is all the way at the bottom
Which one?
with the easiest schedule going forward?
The Heat.
Boston.
Oh, Boston. Oh, don't even.
So Boston and Miami. I mean, they're 27th, so.
Yeah,
I
they're
wouldn't be
two.
complaining about that. 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, I don't know how these rankings work. Oh, they have a lot of easy games versus a lot of tough. Okay, I see. Yeah. I
Yeah,
mean,
I mean, the Celtics, I'll be honest with you, like it doesn't seem like any team in the East is going to catch up with them anytime soon, even with injuries and whatnot. They're pretty primed to continue. But again, like a team like the Celtics, like I'm not trying to say that, not like a hot take that I'm not scared of the Celtics or something, but like you feel a little less worried about seeing them in the playoffs, see like regarding their previous few years. Like they've had moments where they've imploded in the playoffs. So the Knicks could definitely capitalize on a situation like that. And I don't know, like I know a few weeks back we had that game against the Cavs, and it really reminds you that these guys aren't just normal people. They wake up for specific games. Like Josh Hart woke the fuck up against that game for the Cavs. So if we are seeing one of these rivals and it's a playoff situation and a situation like that felt like playoff basketball, a lot of these guys will be rising to the occasion. So a confidence that OG Anunoby and Josh Hart instill in me if we play against the Celtics, if we have two really good wing defenders, like why not? Why are we not saying that this is a possibility, you know? So I'm with the Knicks, man. I'm always gonna be with the Knicks, but I think this is the perfect time to get healthy, and I'm really excited to see Julius Randle come back on this team. It's been rough not having him on this team. Lots of ups and downs, but having OG has made it a little bit better, but having Julius would make it feel great.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about these points that the Knicks are holding other teams to. They themselves are right there with that opposing team with the number of points that
Right.
they're scoring. It's not
Right.
like they're scoring 110 and above. They're really not. They scored 98 last night, and they have a lot of double digit team scoring games. So, I mean, it could just be they're putting more emphasis and energy on defense. Look, as long as we get wins, that's all that matters. But there comes a point where not every game should feel like a playoff game, and you should be lighting it up. And on a given night. So when Randle comes back, obviously that should help. I mean, he's a 25 point per game scorer. He'll come back. That should alleviate some of that pressure off of Brunson, and we'll get more buckets in. But that's something that I'm gonna be looking out for the next 10 to 15 games. We just gotta score more points too.
Yeah, also, shout out to Kirk Goldsberry on Twitter. He does the efficiency landscape, which is like where he takes the X and Y axis and has like offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency. And you're looking at it, and it's exactly what you said, where Tibbs really has found where his defense lies. He's one of the top, I want to say, like four or five defenses in the NBA right now. But offensively, it hasn't been great. And I don't really want to put that on Tibbs. That's a lot more because of injury and health that we're looking at. And it's really awesome that that left efficiency landscape, which is basically like higher teams on defense, but offense isn't that great. They've called it Club Tibbs. So it's awesome to see where Club Tibbs is at. And it's funny to see them at that place. I really hope that they can get that offense going because that puts them at a different level of eliteness in the NBA, especially in the Eastern Conference. And that's what we want to see as Knicks fans.
So we did promise that this was going to be a shorter episode, just a quick synopsis of the Knicks versus the Kings last night. And the Knicks right now have a few upcoming games that are not going to be too easy. We got the Warriors, we got the Nuggets, but with the squad that we got, I mean, if you all remember how the last time it went with the Knicks and the Nuggets, I think you can feel pretty confident with this game, even if they're the reigning and defending champions.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more worried about that Warriors game because I swear, like, we just always have such trouble playing the Warriors. I don't know what it is. Like, I went to a Knicks Warriors game right after COVID when that was like one of the first games that they had like fans back in the stands. Ah, man, like, I don't know. Draymond always wakes up for those games. Klay all of a sudden turns back the dial on the time on the clock, and then like Steph Curry, of course, you know. So, definitely always want to be perked up in against, especially in West Coast trips, and you know. Really good way. Like, started the West Coast trip with a bang. Two wins in a row. Awesome. You know, split the game against the 76ers out on the East Coast. Cool. But I really want to see them end it strong and at least get one of these wins against either the Nuggets or the Warriors. So you can go back into Brooklyn saying, hey, we went to the West Coast and went 3-1 at least. 4-0 would be great, but 3-1 is good. Because then you get into Brooklyn, Detroit, Toronto. And even I know the Spurs have been a little bit better on and off a few games, but you could have a few. At least three easy games in a row if you parlay two more wins in a row. That could then all of a sudden you can see the Knicks at what? Like eight games in a row? That'd be awesome. That'd be real cool in this
Yeah.
time of the year.
I mean, the last time the Knicks and the Warriors played off or had yeah played was February 29th, and who wasn't playing that game, who will probably be playing this game, is the guy who's gonna be guarding Steph Curry. So, something to look out for. OG meet Steph in a Knicks uniform. Or Steph meet OG in a Knicks uniform. All right. So that wraps up this episode of Nickish. We appreciate you guys checking this out. Shout out to everyone at Nickish. Shout out to Kunal, Karen, Sid, Dean, Mill, everybody on the team. We got a lot of stuff that we're working towards. So again, we appreciate the support. And make sure you check out the next episode and check our website, nick-ish.com. Cop yourself some Nickish gear and follow us on all podcasting platforms and on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter at NickishNYC. Until next time, take care. Peace.
Peace.